Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. My guest this week is on the Surf GB team, a Welsh professional surfer, competes on the WQS and is currently training towards the Olympics. So without further ado, Pat Langdon Dark, welcome to the podcast, mate. How are you? Where are you? And have you surfed today?
Yeah, nice to be on the show. I'm in Tunis today. We're GB. We got here last night. Yeah, we surfed a little bit further south today. It's not the north wind's a bit of a nightmare up here unless Super Tubes is any good. But the swell's a bit small. The angle of the swell's a bit of a nightmare. So we drove like 30 minutes down towards Arrecer and we got some fun waves. So yeah, can't complain.
Do you ever, on those sort of like westerly winds or like northerly winds, do you ever travel down to sort of like the Lisbon area and try and score some waves down like the Carcavelos sort of area?
Yeah, when recently we had that comp in Caparica, exactly just the other side of the river, you know, and there was a few huge days that they called it off, so we went and hid around there, and there's some fun waves, fun little point break. I think it's fairly localized, but it's pretty fun. But yeah, but I mean, if you're up in Nice, you can kind of hide anywhere, like up here if it's big. That's not really the problem. But yeah, when you're down that way, for sure. Unless it's massive, I guess you can get away with it up here.
Yeah, I remember the last trip I went on down there was a couple of years ago, and it was like 10, 15 foot, like Nazaré, I think, was something ridiculous. It was around like the 60-foot marker. And so we traveled down to there, and again, we scored some of the nice little point breaks. Carcavelos was absolutely rammed. We didn't go the other side of the estuary.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember where that little break's called down there, but there's a lot of little reefs like down the nooks and crannies, especially sort of like down the edges of the towns and stuff. You just have to go looking and hunting for them.
I think, around there, but yeah, I don't know. It's always busy because like you're so close to Lisbon. There's so many people surfing around there. It's so popular out here. But there's definitely, I've heard there is more waves than just like Carcavelos and stuff outside. I don't know what the name of the one I surfed was, but it was pretty fun. Good little ride.
So you with Surf GB down on a training camp this week, you know, what's kind of like the end of the training camp that you're on at the moment?
This one's sort of like, I think just to touch base again, like it's not a long trip, it's only a week. So just like work on some technical stuff and like touch base with the coach again, Luke, and keep ticking over, I guess. I think the hardest thing with like the UK surfers is like being in good waves enough to train, and then like we're all kind of spread out around the country, but a lot. Cornwall's obviously a bit of a hotbed, but like some of us are up Wales, a lot of them are in Cornwall, like maybe in Devon or whatever, So just staying in contact a lot, I think, is like one of the main goals. You know, like when you're around your coach and you're like focused working on stuff, I feel like you just improve so much faster. Like you're always improving, but just the rate you improve, and you've got someone keeping you accountable all the time. So I think just like even a week in Portugal, just getting us like focused again is not to say we're not focused when we're not here, but you know what I mean?
Do you find sometimes it's quite difficult to train back in our country? Because like you say, you know, you look at some of the big pro guys that are on like the CT and stuff, and they're kind of living the dream. They've got the funding behind them. They're able to travel to lots of different places and train in the best waves in the world, which they're competing in. I don't know what the funding side of things is kind of like with Surf GB, but I can imagine it can be quite difficult kind of like trying to get to that standard by not traveling, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're only going to get good in world-class waves and get world-class by surfing them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely, I don't want to say like for me or anything, but it's, it definitely comes with its challenges. Like, there's days at home where I just think, you get bloody good at groveling for sure, like, but there's days where you can't work on like, you can't go work on like big open face carbs every day. You know what I mean? You don't get many days like that. But it can be like that with the GB now, with the funding they've got for the Olympics and stuff. There's like a small group of us surfers that there's a little squad, and they're starting to take us like some pretty good places. We've been to Oz once already. We're going again, or we're going twice, maybe again. We come to Portugal a lot. So that's positive. Like, that's unreal from what, like, we're getting good boards, good coaches, good, like, good waves. It's pretty incredible. But yeah, at home, for like anyone trying to do it at home, it is hard. Like, you got to travel a lot. But I think there is a benefit. Like, there's a hunger that comes with it being from home, like, knowing that it's cold and the waves are crap most of the time. And I guess you can argue as well, like, Kelly's from Florida, the waves suck. Like, the Brazilians are amazing. And I think their argument, the Brazilians, is like, they're so adaptable because the waves they surf are so tricky to surf. But I think whales in particular, the waves are just so weak. That's almost the hardest thing to deal with sometimes.
You have got a bit of a comparison with all that sort of thing. Talk about Slater, you know, he's kind of like semi-retired today, didn't he, at Margaret River. So
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's crazy. Which is mental. Like, you know, when I was, I started surfing when I was 14. So what was that like back in 1993, 94, maybe? I don't know. I'm not really that good at quick maths. But, you know, I remember like getting magazines and seeing him now. And he's what, you know, probably about 7 or 8 years older than me. And for somebody to compete at that sort of like high level for that amount of time and go into his 50s, when, you know, you've probably got guys that are on the CT that weren't anywhere near born what he was when he was winning world titles, which is absolutely insane. It must be quite inspirational at some point as well. Like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know how the guy's done it. He's had to look after his body so impeccably well. Like the way surfing's got so much better. Like, not to say they weren't good back in the day, for sure. Like, they were incredible, but, you know, like the level it is now, and he's still there. It's like he's had to evolve his surfing like so many times to like stay with the new guard, you know? Like, he'd already been on tour for I don't know how long when like Mick and that got there. And he was probably already considered like one of the older guys then. And now he's like, them guys are tired, he's still there. I don't think there'll be another guy like him.
No, not at all. But I think, like, you know, talking about the adaptability and probably back when they started surfing, and definitely when I did, you know, you didn't have like all these different types of coaches, your strength and conditioning coach, your nutritionist, the person that looks at your technique, you know, the guys that actually deal with all the technical side of things now are his like peer group or his age group. Those are the guys that are actually like teaching this stuff.
You know, yeah, for sure.
Watching all of the footage and breaking it all down. For them, people like, you know, people like yourself, you've got like these coaches now that they take a bit of video footage. You say like, oh, your arm was extended on this compression when you're doing a cutback or something, you know, maybe pull it in a little bit and you'll get more speed and more drive. And I think now that is the kind of the difference between when he was coming up to what's happening now. And he's just kind of stayed with that, which is.
Yeah, it's crazy. When you see like videos of him, like, when you watch like, you know, like vlogs and stuff of him like analyzing himself, and the guy's reef, like, he's upset. He's like, you hear him talking about boards and fins, and he's just like, the guy's on another level, which is, I think, is cool. Like, he's just like that into it. That's why he's so good.
Do you ever get to a point where like you just get so integrated into surfing, sometimes it becomes a little bit overwhelming? Because I know from my perspective, I mean, look, I'm nowhere near the level that you are, like anywhere near it, but doing podcasts and talking to people about surfing myself, being constantly sort of like bombarded with that, it became a little bit kind of like, I just need a break from it sometimes. Do you ever feel like that?
I don't know. I've dropped it pretty hard. I don't have a whole lot else going on. I just train, surf, and go to work. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I can see what you're saying for sure. Like, and I got mates who are like that. But I think, I don't know, maybe being from like Wales where the waves suck and stuff, like, you're just frothing to like surf all the time. Maybe sometimes like I'll watch too much surfing. Like, I'll just like fry my head watching too much technique stuff, or like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe for sure. Like, yeah, like, or maybe like on one of these training camps, like we went to Australia for a month, like sometimes a day off then is kind of nice. Just even if we go surf, Luke, our coach, is like, just go surf, like try airs, whatever you want to do. Like, don't try to get like 7.5s to the beach all day. Like, just switch off. But it's something we've sort of tried to work. I'm not that good at it. He's tried to get me to like be able to switch off sometimes. Which is, I guess, is a good thing. But yeah, sometimes for sure. But yeah, I'm probably one of my weaknesses is like being able to just switch off and stop thinking about training and stuff.
I think because we're all consumed these days by, like, you know, bombarded with different social media aspects of things, and you've got, you know, the newest edit. I can't remember the last full length feature film I watched. I think it might have been the new Tara Martin one. What's it called? Calypso or something like that, where he sails
on a boat. Yeah, that's crazy, that clip.
Yeah, so
that's more storytelling, so it is quite easy to watch. And when you watch 40 minutes of someone just doing like airs, sometimes you're a bit like, oh, I'm over there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that film, like his other ones, was around about like an hour and 20 minutes long. So it's kind of like a full-length feature. But then on the flip side of it, you've got like reels and stuff, you know, like some of your clips, you know, couple of minutes long, and they're just banging up some like pretty insane content. So you've got two kind of sides of the demographic, really, like, and I think that's what makes it like really impressive, because you can take clips out of those films and you can make them into like little shorts and stuff these days. I think it's just so accessible to see things these days.
Yeah, like even when we come on these trips, every time we stand up, we're getting filmed. So like, you'll go home, you have so much footage, you just like, may as well just stick it on Instagram or something. I don't even know if people want to see it, to be honest. I think we're also addicted to social media now. We just can't wait. If we do something sick, we just want to check it out, get validated on Instagram.
Exactly. But do you see yourself as like a brand? Because at the end of the day, you know, surfing is quite is an individual sport, and quite a self-driven sport as well, where, you know, you've got your own sponsors, and then the other guys that you're with, they'll have their own sponsors as well. You've got to have kind of like a little bit of that backing coming with you to be able to drive you on and keep you doing the things you're doing.
I think like, I'll always consider myself usually like pretty hard worker when it comes to the training and the surfing and like the not, you know, getting up early, whatever. But like, that is something I do think about time to time, is like, I see other people, they put like a lot of work into their image on social media, and I'm probably not the best. Like, I wouldn't, there's no way I'm the best at that. I put a lot of like surfing clips up, but that's a bit like, I don't really put too much up, like showing my, my like ads or my personality or stuff. I'll do stuff with my sponsors, I could try more and sell myself on that side of stuff. You know what I mean? I think if I wasn't focused on comps, I'd have to definitely pick my game up a bit, because I think the brands wouldn't be interested otherwise.
Mate, you could be like the Welsh version of Jamie O'Brien, put loads of vlogs out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
You just have to choose who's going to be poopies, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Maybe Logan. Maybe. Get on it.
Are you still doing that that Pagans like YouTube channel that you guys were doing ages ago?
We haven't really done much, I'll be honest. I'll admit, Logan was a bit better at me at like sorting all the footage and editing all the videos, but we should do more. I think getting your personality across, whether people like it or hate you, is a good thing. So we do talk about doing it a bit more recently, actually. But I don't know. Yeah, we need to get on that, I guess. Just organizing days with filmers and stuff, and making sure it's a good day when there's waves, and like paying the filmer to come. And I don't know. Luke got injured for a bit, and now like at home we're both working and stuff. So we haven't been on it enough, to be honest. It's our fault, but we should do it. I think it's only a good thing to like make pump content out, especially like if you're doing bad in the comps, at least the sponsors are stoked, you're putting stuff out.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a bit of comedy and a bit of harmful humor that goes out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, yeah, for sure. I try not to be too, like, too corny and serious when we put clips up.
Yeah,
if people like your personality, then whatever.
I think people can get stuck into that and be a little bit too serious with it, you know. And I can imagine as well, when you're going down to surf and you're kind of trying to put that content down and you haven't got someone that can, you know, you've got to pay someone to come and video you and stuff. I think that can be a little bit kind of spoil the mood or like that session to a little bit, because you kind of stress before you go down and stuff.
Yeah. I definitely get used to being filmed, like, especially on these trips. But I mean, like, we're not paying on these trips or anything, but like, I do, like, when you're paying a good filmer at home and, like, you're paying a day rate or whatever, you're buying the clips, like, you're planning out, like, God, I better rip today. And then you start hassling people, like, you want the waves. It can be a bit. And you try, like, my problem is I try over surf then. I'm on the bloody wave thinking, God, am I going to make this thing a clip? I should just surf. And then if people like it, people like it. But,
it does get
a bit like that.
When I used to do my real shit competitions that I used to do, the super low level stuff that I did, is that was kind of the self-induced pressure I used to put myself under as well, is that, you know, I kind of classed myself as quite competent. So when I used to go into heats and stuff like that, is that I used to put loads of pressure on me into trying to do loads of things, you know, try and do some really nice turns and put in loads of kind of like, you know, the power and the flow and all that sort of thing into it. But then, like you say, you do just kind of overthink it because you've already put self-induced pressure into yourself.
I don't know. I think I've like been on and off dealt with that, like, since I started doing comps. And I mean, you get better now, but still, you'll have a day where, like, you're just like, you got to, like, I think you got to get your routine down, you know, like wherever it is, your breathing, your warm up, whatever gets you calm, like some mantras or whatever. I don't know how hippie you want to go with it, but it's true. Like, it does work. Like, I've done some stuff with psychologists, and like, I'm sure you've dealt with them. And if you don't have a routine, sometimes if you're a bit of an overthinker like me, or maybe like yourself, you just start tweaking out, trying to do a million things, or like, thinking of scenarios or whatever, never surf good then. So I think, you just got to get calm, right? Some people surf good heat. Like, I've had heats where I reckon I'm too calm. Like, but that's pretty hard to get me too calm sometimes, I think.
Do you ever work with, I know you just mentioned there, you worked with a psychologist before, but, you know, with the Surf GB team and, you know, working towards the Olympics, is that something they kind of, are working into the program now?
Yeah, for sure. I think they do. Like, it's a new thing, but it's just like a couple of us have mentioned it, and obviously the staff have mentioned it, but I think it's just such a, like, I think all of us have still got work to do with our surfing and like our physique or whatever, which is the priority, like surfing first and then the physique and all the other stuff. But it is something they've stressed that is, like, especially in an individual sport, where you can be sitting there for 10 minutes on your own. It is something that is sort of overlooked sometimes, that it's super important. Because you can sometimes see it, you know, like, especially, you know, if you know someone really well, like, I travel with Stan and Logan a lot all the time. Like, sometimes, you know, like, just talking to them, you're like, oh, he's on today or he's not on today. You know what I mean? Like, you just, and it's just being able to click into that all the time.
It must be good having those guys, you know, traveling with you as well, because you kind of, you know, you're pushing each other. You've all got your own individual styles, and you can kind of like rub off on each other a little bit, so to speak.
For sure. And especially, sometimes I've traveled with loads of people, and sometimes, like, you just feel like, oh, this doesn't work. But like, especially with the boys I travel with now, I just feel like we can wind each other up till one of us snaps, and then but it's all fine. You know what I mean? Like, the personalities work, and like, we know how to talk to each other before heat. Like, Stan just loves to be like frothing and happy and get him just like frothing to go surf. And Logan likes a bit of like positive reassurance or whatever. And I get pretty serious sometimes, so they like start cracking. You know what I mean? Like, we all know, like, all right, needs. Kind of like, don't take it too serious, but like, try to get him in that mood, you know. And then Luke's just become our coach, Luke Dillon, and he's obviously traveled with us for years. So some people are like, I think we're thinking, oh, it's a bit like your friend becoming your coach. Like, is there going to be like not much discipline there or whatever? But he knows our personality so well. Like, he knows exactly what to say to us, or like, he knows how far in training sessions he can push us and say, you're surfing pretty crap today, or like, you're, you know what I mean? Like, it's like just knowing each other's like what ticks for each personality. I guess that's what a good coach does. And that's kind of what the boys do as well. But we have a good crack as well. We wind each other up pretty good.
I was going to ask you about Luke as well, because you know he's only just jumped into that that job role as the sort of like the heading up you guys with the coaching.
Yeah.
How has he kind of developed and kind of molded himself into that role? Because it must be kind of strange for him from being like a competitor, you know, one day, and then the next day, you know, he's basically like managing you guys and trying to give
yeah,
you
for sure.
Some a little bit of critique as well.
It definitely was like at the start, it was like a bit, I don't know, like there was obviously like growing pains at the start maybe. But he, to be honest, like even he'll be the first to admit the last few years of his career, he's been like not quite as like 100% in as he used to be. So he's almost been like looking for something to maybe to do. And he's like, sort of he took on that role even when we were traveling before GB, like off our own back, of like he was always the one watching the waves before any of our heats and telling us, sit there, you know what you're good at, do that, sit there. Like he was almost taking on that role before it even came about. And then I'm speculating, but I think GB sort of like, even when we were traveling for like the World Games and stuff as Team GB, I think they saw like, oh, like Pat and Stan or whatever are always like calling for Luke for tips and whatever, and they just saw he's kind of like, he's a good personality to have around, and he's obviously got a great understanding of technique. So. But still, that they're obviously aware he's not a world-class coach yet. So we've had guys like Dog Marsh and like Mick Kane coaching us, and Luke shadowing them and asking them questions and learning off them. So that's like, that's one of the most amazing things they've done. I mean, we get like, we've been having like CT coaches coach us, and our coaches learning from them. So yeah, it's been pretty, that for me, that's been priceless. Like, I'm knowing the guy that's coaching me is like coaching like Ryan Callanan. So I'm like, God, it's like, it doesn't get any more real than this. Like, he knows what he's talking about. So then like him relaying all that information to our coach has been, yeah, it's been sick.
I think sometimes from a coaching perspective as well, I mean, you know, from personal experiences, that the best way to learn that sort of stuff as well is actually just kind of by doing it.
And obviously he's done it.
Yeah, I mean, but diving into kind of like managing people as well can be quite difficult, because you know that you've got to look at like, you know you're living somewhere at the moment, so have you got everything that you need, trying to get you to places on time, and then on top of that, once you're there, you know, making sure that you know that you've got some positive reinforcement before you go into the water. But then when you come out and there is something wrong, or there is something that you need to tweak on top of it as well, you know, I call it like a shit sandwich. You know, you've got the you know that you give a little bit of shit, and then you give the good bit, which is like the burger in the middle, and then you give a little bit of shit at the moment at the bottom, and then maybe, you know, you finish off on a bit of a high, and a lot of people, you know, just because you're a good surfer doesn't necessarily, like jiu-jitsu as well, just because like they're a black belt doesn't mean that they're a good coach either. So you know,
no, for sure.
Yeah, it would take time really to kind of like migrate into that sort of mindset.
Yeah, and I think it's still taking him time, but where he has the advantage is that he pretty much knows everyone in the team like as like a really close friend already. So he already knows like how hard he can like kind of grill me, or like maybe like give a bit of a like positive reinforcement to someone else in the team, and then give them what they need to work on. But he sort of, you can see it when we're coaching on the beach, like his attitude will change from me to someone else, you know?
Has he told you off yet?
Yeah, he kind of winds my neck in all the time, I think. Not too bad, but just like, He's pretty straight with me, and he, because that's, I think that I don't, I almost get more annoyed when someone's puffing me up a bit, and I know I'm like not surfing that good. I'm like, just get to the point, man. Like, I know I'm not surfing that good. But then when I am surfing good, I'm like, come on, you can give it to me. Like this morning, I wasn't really ripping this morning. He was like, oh, it's pretty sticky and gross. Like, clean your edges up. And then this afternoon, I had a good surf, and he's like, yeah, you look pretty on. But there's always, again, I'm not Gabriel Medina, so there's always something. Like, I was doing a lot of good one turners, and he just sent me back out and was like, well, you need to get like another major in first. Like, you might need an eight in a heat. Like, just go do it in the next 15 minutes. So it's like, there's always, it's kind of nice like that. There's always like, you think you're ripping, and he's like, yeah, you're doing all right, but get back out there. I mean, every now and then, because he's such a close mate, like, you can get a bit like, come on, man, just like, tell me I'm ripping. But I mean, it's good. He's always pushing us.
I think sometimes as well, as that come a comparable point of view is that, you know, I have, you know, teaching jiu-jitsu now, so I've got my own academies. Like, you've got guys that you teach something and they do it, and they do it really well, and they start practicing and they get like super good at it. And you can kind of like tell sometimes, like, they look at you like that, like out the corner of their eye, and they're like, they're waiting for you to say something. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
He's great at that, because like I keep saying, like, he knows our personality so well. For like with Stan, you can just wind him up all the time. He's like, oh yeah, it was all right. Or like earlier, we've got a Grom with us, Craig from Scotland, because you know, little Lucas, they couldn't come, so they brought Craig up for his spot, which is like giving another Grom a chance. And he was like, did you see my last word? Luke was like, yeah. He's like looking around like, come on. I was like, you won't get it out of him. Like, he only gives it to you when he knows that, like, you've done something sick. So it is cool like that. Like, you're always trying to push, like, every time we go in the water, which is sick.
How's all the training and the build up going towards leaning towards the Olympics? Have you started kind of like leaning into it a little bit now, or is it just kind of like a slow progression building towards it?
Well, I guess because no one qualified for this one, it's just like the main focus is getting us like dialed in for like the next one that we can qualify for. So at the minute, that's miles away. So like, but they're still, I guess they're just trying to get us to a level where like it's like it would be a shock, like not a shocker, but like we have a good chance of qualifying, you know.
What do you think about all that qualifying system for the Olympics?
I mean, I can't complain too much, because they could have just said, all right, the world tour get to do it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's good for us guys who are not on the top 30 in the world still get a chance to qualify. Like, there's a German guy who qualified and stuff, you know. So, no, like, they could have just said, right, yeah, the top guys on the world tour, they're the best guys they're in. But at least with the ISAs, we get a chance and stuff. So I think we can't complain too much. I think a lot of other sports, it would just be the top 20 guys in the world are in. So I think it's not easy, but I think we got a better chance doing that than, you know, it's probably easier to do that than go qualify for the world tour next year. So
I'd love to see it, like, because sometimes you get like the Afghani, you know, you look at the ISAs and you get like the Afghanis, you get some Iranians, you get some Israelis, and
yeah.
You know, people from the far reach of the world that you wouldn't necessarily associate
with
surfing.
There's so many Israelis now, and they surf good, like, because they do RQS, they do the European QS. I'm friends with a lot of them, and they're legends, but they're all like a few years ago, they weren't like, they've got that much better. Like Anat, she's qualified for the Olympics again. She's like the second time going to the Olympics, and she's from Israel. So gnarly.
Kind of leading on to the point where I think you should, if you've got like major countries competing in the Olympics, I think it's, you should have like at least one or two people from each country competing into it, you know.
Yeah,
you know, like when you see, yeah, you're there, like when you see like the 100 meters and Usain Bolt's like knocking out like a a 9.5 or a you know an 800 meters.
Yeah.
I mean, then you've got the guy from Uganda that comes in like at a 14.5 second.
Yeah.
Like that. I love to see that because, you know, this is hypothetically speaking. Like, do you know what I mean? But, you know, someone like from the northern realms of Russia or something like that goes up against like Medina or something and, yeah. and they win the Olympic gold medal. Like no one's ever heard of this bloke or seen him. Almost like the like cool running.
I'm not sure that would happen, but it'd be cool.
I don't know. You never know. Wave pools are a thing now, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone's going to get past Gabby this year. Yeah, pretty strong.
Yeah, he's pumping out some awesome surfing at the moment. I tried to watch a little bit of Margaret River and Bells. Bells wasn't like the best condition, so you know when you're looking at trying to watch surfing in those conditions, it can be quite especially for that length of time, can be quite nauseating, I think. But some of the stuff from Maggie's this morning was pretty decent, I think.
Yeah, for sure, and like Bells hasn't been that big, so I can see like. It can be pretty boring, but I guess for us, you know, competing in like marginal waves all the time, it's almost like nice to see the top guys, like how good they perform in like 3 foot surf, you know? But yeah, Margs looked fine. Well, it wasn't for Margs, like it's usually pretty big there, isn't it? But it's pretty like, I almost don't mind it being that small because you get to see the guys really surf high performance. And yeah, I don't know. I almost enjoy it more, like seeing Gabe just let loose on like 4 footers. Like almost more relatable. Like how many times we don't surf like anything like 8 foot Margaret every night, like very often, you know what I mean? So like seeing them surf 3 foot surf, it's like I almost get super excited to watch that.
Do you follow the CT much? Are you kind of like a little bit like, I mean, like you stick it on in the background or you might do the, you know, the odd fantasy league and stuff like that just to kind of keep you wicking with it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty on it, I guess. You know, like there's so much surf content I remember on YouTube and stuff, but like there's not that much, like, you know, like it's like when it's on, like I'm pretty fucking to watch it. The time zone's a bit of a nightmare, but like today we came back for breakfast and we have it on the replays or watching the live. But yeah, I don't know. We're all I think to be good at surfing from the UK, you gotta be a bit of a proper. So like we're all pretty keen to get it on and watch.
I remember I used to stick it on at work. I'd have the TV on and then I'd just plug the HDMI cable into my computer and just have it on in the office in the gym. And people thought I was mental because it was kind of like, I guess that they would compare
most
it to
boring sport ever. Guys just sitting there.
It's not as bad as darts or what, like snooker or golf or cricket. Cricket's even worse. Is that even a sport?
That is jarring. But yeah, but I do see like my old man always goes on about it. He's like, they should just do air comps. Like they did an air comp in Lackana this year and the crowd is way bigger than the QF because it was just like a bunch of people in the water like trying the biggest air to win like £1,000 or like £2,000 or something. And he was like, this is sick. Like you land something big and you win £2,000. I was like, and the crowd were like stoked. And it was like, oh, that probably, to get the fans, it's probably almost like, you know, like if they did like a wave pool comp, but it was like a big air or something, and then the DJ, I think that could be like the way it could go to make it more exciting. But like for core surfers, obviously, we almost like just seeing like guys sit there for 15 minutes and get a 6.5. We're like, that was sick. But everyone else was like, that was boring thing to watch.
I'm sure Red Bull did an airs contest or Vans might have done it a few years back, but I don't think
Stab do it a lot.
I remember they were trying to put them in between sort of like the lay days or something on the CT.
It was a Red Bull Airborne, I think it was called. That was sick, but I don't know, that didn't really, I guess it didn't catch on that much. But I think it could be like, there's so many core surfers that are like against airs and stuff, but I think for people that don't surf, it's like far more exciting to see. Like they don't know what a good car looks like, so not that I'm saying I would do it, but I think to get someone like, I don't know, to get someone who like, say, I don't, yeah, anyone like them, like the normal person from Swansea or something, they're not gonna, like seeing someone doing air is kind of cool, maybe get barreled, but seeing a guy link three turns to the beach, they're not going to care that much, I don't think.
I'm always comparing stuff, right? So you could almost like watch the UFC, you know, everyone wants to see that stand up.
Yeah, this is exactly the point. Like no one wants to watch grappling unless you're a grappler.
But then, you know, you don't understand how hard it is to keep that person that level down on the floor. So, you know, you equate that to surfing. You don't know how hard it is to get, you know, even your fins out the back of a wave on something that hasn't really got a ramp. And for someone to do that and do it well.
I've had this conversation with Joel, I think, or someone before about like jiu-jitsu stuff. And I'm like, it's so boring to watch, but I can see why you guys like it. I'm like, because I'll see a guy like wait for 10 minutes and then take off and like time every turn perfect, not pump and like execute away perfectly. But like, that's so boring to someone else. But like you said, like to you, you're looking at every intricacy, like analyzing it, and you're like fascinated by it. And everyone else is like, just get up and punch him in the face.
Exactly. You know, I do that with surfing as well, though. You know, I love to see the guys that crank the airs out. And do you know what? I actually, I like the controversy of the commentary and the scoring as well with it. You know, when it's, you know, let's say, for instance, there's a really nice, you know, glassy face where you can really pump out some really nice calves, do some nice snaps, and you've got like your bottom to top, you know, surfing. But also the guys that sometimes, you know, they just go down the line, get as fast as they can, and just launch for hell leather into the air and then see what the comparison is.
It's like, because like now it's almost like a big thing, and it like Ethan's arguably like doing the best surfing, and everyone's like, the judges are clearly loving it. So I think it's almost going back that way, whereas like it's someone like Italo, who's like the other side, seems like he's having to work a bit harder for his scores than he was a few years ago. It feels like on tour they've got really upset, like really loving like Ethan's like rail surfing at the minute. And then, to be honest, his surf rail surfing is so good, it almost is progressive. Like no one can really do it like him. Like there's a difference between him doing a carve and like anyone else doing a carve almost, so they have to score it.
Which I think sometimes when you kind of delve into the competition side to surfing as well, when sometimes you get like a really slow heat, and the guys that you know that can do like amazing things, you know, they can't quite kind of, you know, link it together or connect with the ocean at that time. I mean, that can, the amount of times that like I'm a bit geeky, I do the old fantasy surfer and I like to try and put the people in there that are going to do well in those certain conditions, and then they don't quite do it. I'm just like launching my phone at the wall and stuff because
I mean, it's like the last. Until, I mean, Gabriel's like Medina, he's like 20th this event, because until Portugal, he'd had a shocker. And it's like, if you watch the free surfing clips, you're like, this guy can't lose. He's like unbelievable, but he does. I guess he's known for like, he loves riding waves. So he sometimes gets them quiet heat, so there's not a lot of waves. And maybe that's like, they don't get to show what they can do. And then you'll get a guy who like, maybe like Frederico Moraes or something, who's like just like so good at like just waiting and surfing two waves the whole heat. But I guess that's the difference. Sometimes you like you got to know when to when the conditions ask you to clutch up and wait, or when you need to get busy.
Yeah, I think that's what makes surfing so much more unique than other sporting events, is that not like in an arena where you've got a field and it's kind of like the same game in, same game out, is that you can never, it's the old classic cliche, isn't it? You can never predict nature unless you're in a wave pool. But and that sometimes is the frustration, especially when you have waiting periods. I mean, you could go that whole waiting period and nothing, you know, comes out of those low pressures are out of the sea, and then you kind of like you kind of scuppered then a little bit, I guess. But like you say, you know, if you're the guy that can surf well in like subpar conditions and do all those crazy things, then that also is kind of like a standout and a benefit to you too.
Yeah, especially like, not to say it's the same for everyone in from Britain, but you'll definitely like, if there's a comp where it's probably like, I think most of us will be pretty confident. Just like, we're so used to them sort of small grovelly heats. Like maybe not, we probably wouldn't actually be the best at like the long wait heats that you get sometimes in California, where there's like two sets the whole heat, because we're so used to like short range winds. Well, and catching a lot of waves. But it would definitely, like, when it's grovelly, we're pretty good at getting some speed on little crappy waves.
I think they should just change the whole, like, surfing competition thing, and you surf the board for the condition. So if it's like 2 foot and shit, you get your longboard out or something like that.
Yeah, then, that would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and then, you know, you could almost kind of do like the old Hawaiian classics where you're trying to do a bit of yoga and some handstands to the beach and stuff like that, and that still gets tens like it would doing like some stand-up chobu barrel or something like that, or like, you know, something like that.
I won't be doing very well then. I'm not the best longboarder.
Ah, mate, it doesn't matter. You just have to walk up and down it like going up the stairs, don't you?
Make sure no longboarders listen to this.
Oh, but, well, I longboard myself anyway, so I'm only mocking myself, really.
Yeah. No, it is like, I do sometimes think, like, you when you shortboard, you think, oh, I could do that. And then I have a crack sometimes because I feel like there's a lot of good longboarders where I live. And sometimes I have a go and I'm like, shit, this is actually kind of hard. Like, it's... like, you know, to really lock the tail in and like do a proper good nose ride. And I've done it once or twice. I'm like, whoa, I see why you guys are into this. This is pretty fun. Especially at home, like, our waves are like, you can kind of get world class at longboarding if you live in the UK. Like, there's so many good longboard waves. Maybe I'm talking rubbish. I don't know, but.
Well, you got Elliot down the road.
Elliot's phenomenal. He's unbelievable. And then we've got Guts. Like, I surf with Guts almost every day. We got Josh Shock in surfboards. He's doing really well shaping his longboards. Connor gets his sons from, like, we got so many longboards.
I enjoy kind of the longboarding side of things. But I, you know, unfortunately I'm 42 years old. I don't know why I'm saying unfortunately. I'm stuck in the mid length thing at the moment. I've got this 20 channel bottomed, like, Torren Martin-esque thing that I got from Luke Young, and I call it my point grinder. You know, I just use it in all, like, the longer waves, like Lynn Murph and, you know, a few of the other points around here. And yeah, this is where the grumpy surfer comes into it. You know, snobby surfer, I only go surfing when I know it's going to be good. And I'm one of those now, mate.
Yeah, remind me not to sit anywhere near you. Anyone more than like 30 litres, I'm like, I'm not sitting near you, I'm getting nowhere.
Oh, mate, I've got...
But I see it for sure. Like, that's how my dad used to surf. Like, it's like, you're going out to have fun. You're not, like, you see so many... In Langland, it's mad. Like, not to write any of the boys off. I love all the locals. But, like, you see some of the older boys, like, trying that hard to carry on shortboarding. And they get so angry in the water. And I'm like, just get a bigger board. Like, it's about riding, like, it's just about having fun. Like, you've probably got an hour, your missus is probably on your case. Like, just ride a bigger bull and get loads of waves and go home happy. Like, stop stressing about it. Like, riding 28 litres or something.
Mate, the amount of times I go down to, I live in Exmouth, so it's like a tidal estuary sort of place. And, But it's really kind of cut off where Dartmouth and Plymouth is. There's like a bit of land that sticks out into the sea. So it kind of cuts off that southwest swell that comes up the channel. If that wasn't there, we'd get absolutely pumping waves coming through. I mean, there's a sandbank down on the beach that, like, I look at it sometimes and it just lines up, like, so nice, but it's like a foot. And I just kind of, I wish sometimes that could just get like a big, like, laser and cut that bit of land off so it falls off into the sea.
Yeah, and then that's how I feel about Ireland.
Yeah, don't tell the Irish people that either.
Yeah, no, I love the Irish. they cough a lot of our swells, especially any north swells are right off in Wales. Like, south swells will be as big as Cornwall sometimes, but any north swell is kind of a nightmare. I'm like, just get that thing out of the way, it would be sweet.
Well, if that was the case, you know, I'd definitely be I'd be shortboarding all the time. But I just don't get the water time these days, you know, and...
And when you go and surfing, you're going to catch waves, aren't you? So, like, if you're not surfing all the time, like, I feel like when you're surfing all the time and you're riding a shortboard, you get so good at, like, knowing where to paddle and, like, catching waves. And then when you're not surfing that often, like, you're just, your sharpness of, like, your lineup reading, you know, just, like, gets a little bit worse. And then, like, on a bigger board, I think it's going to help you get back in a rhythm.
I enjoy it. It does what I need to.
I think a lot of guys benefit from it. You see guys who, like, not to write people off, but some guys that don't sit like, you see guys who don't surf that good and they jump on a shortboard, and then I'm like, kind of just like ruining it. But it just doesn't look fun what you're doing. You may as well just like get on a bigger board and like learn to like surf properly and then drop it down if you want to. Like someone like my brother who, like, he's not that good, or he's not crazy good, he just surfs for fun and like doesn't like try beast out the winters or anything. He just rides like big 6'10" egg. It's got like 60 liters in it, and he just like catches more waves than me. And he's like, he's frothing.
There was a point break when I went, you know, that trip that I was telling about. It's not really a secret place. What is it called now? I think it's called Estoril or something like that.
Yeah, I know where you are, yeah.
It's quite a fat wave, quite big as well. Like, I'd say, without sounding super big headed, it was easily like 6 to 10 foot, but it was quite it's not like a steep wave, it was quite like a fat wave. Like, you know, there was a really good swell running on it, and it was just really nice to take off onto it, and you could just really kind of
like a snowboarding on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just kind of like carve out some really, really kind of nice turns and stay in the pocket. Yeah, don't get me wrong. If you got caught inside, you know, you got a nice bit of water over the top of your head and rolling in along the rocks. But, you know, that board was great for that. And plus the fact that because it's got so much volume, and I think it had like 48 liters, you know, it was like paddling a longboard back up to the point.
Again.
So it was great.
There was a wave we surfed in the Azores, which was like this big left point. It was so scary, but we were on like our little like 5'10". It was like my step up, like 26 liters. And it was like, it was one of them waves. It was like big rolling body. And it was like, if it was cuppy, it would have been fine. But because it was so big and rolling, like, it was so hard to catch waves. I was like, God, I need like, you literally needed something that was like 30 liters just to get going. I think like some waves, they're just, you need volume. Like, even some waves where like it might not even be that big, but it's just like a deep water wave where you just need volume. And then vice versa, like somewhere like Thurso, it can be 8 foot and you'll ride your shortboard because it kind of lets you in.
It's weird how like different waves have their own little like characteristics to them, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I also think as well, though, talk about the mid lengths and that sort of stuff, but I think the proof is in the pudding when you've got somebody like, you know, that's in the media a lot, with like Tara Martin, for instance. He's surfing like, you know, those 7'8" all the way down to, you know, 5'4" fishes and stuff, where like he's just cruising in like some of these, what was it called, the Atlantic one that he did down in Morocco, where like he's just like cruising on this mid-length on some absolutely monstrous waves, but it's just kind of like as if it's a shortboard. And I mean, that goes down to show kind of his, how good he is and the skill and the technique that makes it easy.
You can give that guy a door, I reckon. He looks like he can just, but for sure, like, but like, may as well make it easy for yourself sometimes, especially if you're not trying to bang out scores for a judge, you know.
What boards are you riding at the moment?
So I've been kind of like through a few different cycles. Like, I was riding a Shaper from home, and then I got some Pollens from Portugal. Like, I was just getting bored, I didn't really have a Shaper, and then Skin Dog's been nice enough to like work with me a bit, and I've had a good few boards off him, trying to like work out what I like. And then recently GB, when we went to Oz, they got us a batch of JS's, like all, we all got a quiver, which was pretty sick, and they've been going good. Yeah, so I'd love to have a Shaper at home, like Skin Dog hopefully, or maybe, so I'm not sure, like work with them, but also with the like, we have a really close relationship, you know, like you hear a lot of surfers say that's really important. But then also like with the opportunities we're getting at the minute, like we've been able to try some really big brands, which has been cool. Because I mean, like I've tried some brands, but it's really cool. You hear a lot of guys growing up like telling you what, like some older boys telling you what to do and stuff, saying like, oh, you need to try other boards and stuff. But obviously like financially, sometimes you're like, God, how do you want me to do that? So now it's been cool to try some different brands, like, and even then, like if you've got a Shaper or you don't, you can say, oh, I like it, as long as they're willing. Like, some Shapers get a bit weird, but I know like Ben said to me, yeah, just bring them down and you can work on what you like, you know, which is always cool when a shaper's like that, when they're like willing to learn, you know, or not, maybe not even learn, just learn why you like a certain thing and how they can help you.
Exactly. But that just kind of goes to show, you know, the openness of him as well, you know.
I
spoke to Ben a few times and been down to see him and stuff and done a bit of surf coaching with him as well. And he just seems like he is a really nice kind of open guy. And
yeah,
and awesome. He's always like his personality is such a way that he's always trying to improve himself within his surfing, but also within, you know, his brand as well and how
he works so hard, man. He's like off trying to win a world title 1 minute and then pumping out some little 14-year-old a bloody shortboard trying to make it the best board. He's juggling that on top of having like the best bloody 15-year-old in the world and more kids and a wife and everything. I don't know, the guy's a machine.
Yeah, it's something to try and emulate, I guess, one day.
But yeah, it's cool because like he's like a tank and he's like a gnarly bloke. I sometimes think like, God, like he's like would be gnarly to speak to, like tell him, oh, I'm gonna try these boards or this board goes kind of crap or whatever. Not that I've had many crap ones, but you know. But he's so easy to speak to because I've had shapers in the past where I'm like, some shapers don't love it when you walk in and say the board's not going too good.
They surely should be kind of like in that, okay, let's improve it to see what you do like, because you know, if they do that and be a little bit open to it. I mean, I'm kind of like being a bit skeptical with this, I guess, and I don't know these people, but you know, from my perspective, if I want somebody that's riding my brand and they, you know, putting my gear out there and they're going to do well on it, I want to try and make it as good and as best as what they can be on it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I guess sometimes like someone's put a lot of work into a board and then you like, maybe you don't surf it that much and you tell them it's not good. Like, I guess they just want you to give it a good chance sometimes. I've definitely had them situations. Yeah. Before where, you know, like it's just a bit, you're like, you're a bit nervous to like tell your true thoughts to the shaper, you know. But then I've also worked with shapers like Sam I had from Wales, who was super open. Like he was like, he never was like funny about how he felt about a board.
I suppose it depends on how you say it to him as well. If you go back in
there, yeah, like you say, maybe I'm the shit sandwich. that's the way I used to go about it.
Yeah, just don't go in there and just throw it out and go, this is fucking shit, and then just walk.
Don't
give him any criticism or feedback whatsoever.
Yeah, or maybe you could look at it like, I don't know, I've heard Steph Gilmore say it. She says like there's no bad board, you just gotta learn to ride it. So maybe you just gotta look at it like that.
Or from the Slater point of view and just change the fins, or a Tom Curran point of view.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I've probably got better at that recently, actually. It's like just like giving a board more of a chance and trying different fins. I used to just ride the one fin and not want to mess that up in my head, you know, like there's so many options of fins, you can just go down a rabbit hole. But it almost sometimes, like you were saying, do you get bored of surfing? Sometimes if I'm getting a bit bored, I'll just like chuck different fins in my board just to like be like, oh, I don't know, like put a smaller fin in the back or something, just get more release, or you know, just to like change. I don't know, say you've surfed the same beach for a week and it's been similar swells all week, you can just like maybe ride a different board or ride different fins just to like change it up a bit. It can just be a bit, I don't know, it might even go worse, but at least it just sort of, I don't know. You know what I mean? It just changes it up a bit.
Make it a 20 or a single fin.
Yeah, no, not doing that.
Fair enough. We've been going for about an hour now, so I do appreciate your time and
yeah, no worries, it's fun.
You know what's coming up for you in the next sort of 6 months, you know, where you're kind of heading.
So next 6 months, a lot of trips with GB, obviously a bit of work at home, and we got the QS will start in August in Boardmasters, and that will leap. That'll be mostly in the summer, and then there'll be one or two maybe in the like the start of next year in the spring, and then hopefully I'm in a spot to qualify for the challenges. That's the main goal. And then yes, just traveling with this crew a lot, like in Australia again soon, And then we'll travel together for the contest. And yeah, I don't know, just basically that, to be honest. Just I'm getting a bit older now, so I just try to lock in and really make something of my surfing.
Mate, sounds epic.
And that's it.
Pat, if you really enjoyed talking,
please like,
tonight,
share,
mate,
and subscribe
podcast. Appreciate your time.
And also leave us a review on Spotify. Cheers, and Apple Podcasts.
Thanks for listening.